if you need to get a Bible, if your parents have a Bible, let's get these kids Bibles if they can. If they don't have one, they can certainly share some Bibles. If they don't read, then it doesn't really matter, I guess. But we're going to go to Philippians and look at something that I think is important for every single person here this evening. So Philippians, if you don't know where Philippians is, let's learn the books of the Bible so that we can find it. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Okay? So you find it, and let's see what God's Word has to teach us. All right, I'm going to read a few verses this evening. I'm going to read a few verses, and then we're going to kind of pick these verses apart, okay? Kids are saying, how do you pick some verses apart? Well, we're not going to pick them apart, but we're going to go through them, and I'm going to help you to understand them, okay? Now, if I ask you a question, what I want you to do is raise your hand if you know the answer, okay? If you don't quite know the answer, don't raise your hand. But I might ask on some of you to help me just a little bit here tonight as we look at Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, and we're going to go through verses 2, 3, and 4, a passage that probably most of us are familiar with, but hopefully when we leave tonight or this afternoon, you'll be even more familiar with them, okay? All right, so Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 2. Try to follow along if you can. Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. All right, kids, I want you to look back at verse 2. Who can tell me what the first word is of verse 2? Verse 2, Malachi, what's the first word? Fulfill. What does the word fulfill mean? I want you to think just for a moment. You adults can think about this. Kids, the word fulfill, what does it mean to fulfill? He says, fulfill ye my joy. Now, that's not a big word, but it's not an easy word. It's not an easy word, especially for you children. What does the word fulfill mean? Did any one of you children know what the word fulfill means? Now, listen, I know that we have a bunch of adults in the room, and they are smart, and they know everything, but don't let that intimidate you from just trying, okay? Can you guess at all? What does it mean to fulfill? Any ideas? Okay. So Sam said, does it mean when Jesus gives you a new heart? Okay, that was a good try. Any other ideas? Fulfill. We got a few more ideas. Uriah, what do you think? Filling up something. And that was very good as well. And you're getting close. Okay? Elijah, do you have an idea of what it means to fulfill? Like filling up a cup of milk for your kittens. Absolutely. That is amazing. Sam, do you have one more idea? Okay, fulfilling up with joy. Okay, now Sam's getting into some application here, but you're all right. Okay, now listen. The word fulfill, and this is interesting, the word fulfill literally means to bring something to its completeness. It's to take it all the way to the very top. In fact, I thought about doing an illustration up here and getting some liquid. I don't know if it was going to be milk. Elijah's all about cows and milk. I know that. That's all he talks about, right, Elijah? He's all about it. It's Sunday nights. We're praying for cows and we're praying for baby calves and stuff. I know he always does that. So tonight he's the milk. He's talking about milk. But you know what, Elijah? Milk is perfect. because you can have your mom or dad fill that cup of milk all the way up to the top until it can't bear another drop. And that one more drop goes in, and what happens when it's fulfilled and then some, it spills out, it overflows. Now the word fulfill here, when he says fulfill you my joy, is to take something to its completeness so that there's not one drop more can fit in. You say, is that possible? Have you ever filled up a cup, Elijah, so full that it almost even bulged over the outside, but something was kind of holding it there, but any little more in there just made it spill over, okay? That's what we're talking about here. It's to be made completely full. Not a little bit more can go in. But what's he saying to fulfill here? Water. It's not milk. It's not water. Sam started to say it. What does he say? Fulfill ye my joy. So he's saying something. Now this is a question. I don't know if you kids can guess this. Who is writing these words here? Now I know God is the author of the Bible. God is the one that put these words here, but he used humans to do it. Does anybody know the human that God used to write the book of Philippians? Chloe? Paul, you are correct. Okay? Is that what you were going to say, Sam? Maybe I shouldn't ask that question. Okay. All right. Paul is the one that was going to, he did write Philippians. Of course, God told him what to say or to write, and Paul wrote it down. Okay? Paul is here writing this, and he's telling the people, he's telling them kind of like saying, you can almost picture Paul pointing a finger, you fulfill my joy. All right, let's talk about joy just for a moment. So Paul is telling this group of people here that they were supposed to fulfill his joy. All right, what's joy? What's joy? Any ideas? What? Okay, happiness. Happiness, certainly happiness can be a part of it. Joy. Joy is an idea of something inside of you. And I think, by the way, adults even, I think that joy and happiness can be a part of it. But joy is something that is inside of you because of God. Joy really has its fulfillment in the person of God, in the character of God, the ability of God. And I don't believe that an unsaved person can truly have joy. I think that they can be happy, but I don't think that it can be joy. Paul here is saying, fulfill you my joy. So Paul was what? Was Paul sad, happy, angry? What was he? He was happy, but even a more biblical word, he was joyful. Okay? He had a lot of joy. Paul had that, and he's telling this group of people to do what with his joy? So, I want you to imagine a cup, and he's filling it with what? Now, this is kind of a trick question. What is Paul filling this cup with? What, Nehemiah? Did you say it? Joy! You're right! How do you fill a cup with joy? But he was taking a cup there, and he was saying, you know what, my joy is really getting close to the top, but I want you to give it the last drop. I want you to do something amazing here that's going to make me so happy. But listen to this, kids. Do you know that it wasn't just something that would make Paul happy? It makes God happy also. It makes God. His joy is complete. Adults, God's joy is complete when we see what he's going to tell them here. His joy is complete. What could make God's joy so full and so complete? What would it be? What would make God so happy, if I could put it in those words? What would just really go above and beyond and say, wow, that's complete. I can't have any more joy. Well, that's what we need to see. All right, look back down at the verse. What would it be? So Paul is saying, fulfill or make it completely, fill up every part of my joy so that I couldn't even have any more joy. I can't really imagine what that would be like, to get so full of joy that I couldn't have any more joy. What would that be? Fulfill ye my joy, and here's the instruction, that ye be like-minded. All right, this is a big word. What is like-minded? What does that mean? What does it mean to be like-minded? I'm going to give you a clue. Take the word like-minded and kind of divide it up into two. Okay? If you were to take like-minded up into two, what two words would we get? Like and minded. Okay? Well, that helps us. The word like is what? Like's one of those words you can't use any other word except to say like. You know, it's just like something, right? It's similar. That's a word that's a little over your head maybe, but do you understand what similar is? You know what a good definition of word similar? Like. Kind of going in a circle, isn't it? Okay, but do you know what it means? It's almost the same, right? It's almost the same. It's like it. Okay. It's kind of a something that you're in. Well, let's look at our second word here. So like, and what was the other word? Like minded, Malachi says. Okay, Malachi, what is minded? Now that's a little bit harder. When he says like minded, what does the word minded mean? You know, that one's tough. When you think of your mind, and I just gave you a clue there. When you think of your mind, what does your mind do? Think. Ha! When you think of your mind, it's thinking. Okay? So like-mindedness, like thinking, right? So we're supposed to, he says, here's how to fulfill my joy. All right, kids, listen. Here's how to fulfill my joy. Here's how to make me so happy that I couldn't be any more joyful. He said, I want you to that ye be like-minded. Now he's talking to a group of people, and they're all supposed to think alike. They're all supposed to think the same thing. Now, I've got a question for you. It's the idea of having the same thoughts. Okay? All right. Now, I hope this illustration works. It should work. All right, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 minus Pastor Dan. No, 9 minus Pastor Dan, okay? 8. How many of you like ice cream? Raise your hand. Tabby, do you like ice cream? Yeah, she does. Okay, good. Sam, do you like ice cream? Chloe, you raise your hand. Okay, you can put your hands down. Can you imagine that? All 8 of them said that they liked ice cream. They're like-minded. Oh, he's catching on, okay? They're like-minded. Now, I really hope that there wasn't one of these interesting children that was like, I don't like ice cream. I was like, okay, you just killed my illustration. Okay, I figured that. You like ice cream, okay? Now, if I asked what flavor, I would probably get in trouble because I'm going to take it one step further and hope that it's there. Do you like chocolate ice cream? Chloe, all right. Okay, we're going to sit right at ice cream, okay? You guys all like ice cream. We like ice cream, okay? We like ice cream, don't we, right?
Yes.
Okay, we like ice cream. Sam likes ice cream, right? Okay. We're not going to go to the chocolate or the strawberry or the vanilla or the moose tracks or all these other kinds. We're just going to stay right at ice cream. Okay? So, was this group of 8 like-minded with their like for ice cream? What was the answer? Yeah, they all did. They all thought the same. When I asked Tabitha, she likes ice cream. When I asked Elijah, he likes ice cream. When I asked Malachi, he likes ice cream. And on down the list, they all liked ice cream. They're thinking the same way about this. That's what he's saying here. I will fulfill my joy. You can fulfill my joy if you think the same way, not about ice cream, but about something else. Okay, so they have to think the same way. Now let me ask you a question, kids. Is it kind of difficult to get a bunch of people thinking the same way? What do you think, adults? Very difficult, right? to get a group, unless you're talking about ice cream. But if you're talking about anything else, it's actually kind of difficult to get people, you know, and even in this room. There's probably somebody here that doesn't like ice cream, okay? That's why I pulled 8 and their children, okay? So there's that. But you know what? If we got into anything beyond ice cream, wouldn't it be difficult to be like-minded? Yet, kids, do you know that Paul is telling us, God is telling us, there's something that a Christian, every Christian, ought to think the same way about. That's what we need to discover. And when we do think the same way, guess what it will do? What did we already learn it will do? If everybody, and I say this, church, if everybody in the church thinks the same way, and yes, it is possible that it can happen because God gave the instruction for everyone in the church to think the same way about this. And what would it do when everybody thought the same way? What would it do? What did we just learn? What was the first word of the verse? It would fulfill his joy. Right. There's nothing more that can make Paul happier than if this happened. Can I say this, adults? There's nothing that would make God happier than to see what we're going to see in the next few verses. Nothing he could be happier about. Okay, so let's discover what is it that we need to think alike. Okay, we all think alike about ice cream. Okay, now Sam, you're dying to tell me something. What is it? It would make the people happy. By the way, Sam brings up a good thing. Do you know that when we're all thinking the right way with God, that we are all happy as well, not just God and not just Paul? There's nothing that can make a church more happy when everybody's thinking the same way. Now, it might be impossible for all of us to think the same way about everything, but it is possible to think the same way about this. And here's what it is, and we're going to see, okay? So, what's the thing? Look back at your Bibles, kids. Look back at your thing. What's the thing that we're all supposed to be thinking about here? Not ice cream cones. He doesn't talk about ice cream cones in here. What does he say? So go back. You're in Philippians chapter 2. He says, I want you to think, be like-minded. Now, he goes on saying, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Now, we don't have time here this morning to go through all of these things, but kids, here's what I'm telling you. He said 3 things here. I want you to think the same thing. I want you to have the same kind of love. I want you to have being of one accord. I'm not going to get into that tonight. It's very similar, though, and of one mind. That's another way to say, I want you to be together on this. I don't want you to be running off and saying, no, I don't like ice cream. I like cake. I don't like pie. I don't like, you know. No. It's all the same thinking here, okay? So we are all thinking the same thing. Adults, we're thinking the same thing. And what is that same thing supposed to be? Look at verse 3, okay? He says, let nothing in your life be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. And I really want you to pay attention to verse 4. Look at verse 4. Every one of you kids, look at verse 4 if you can. If you have a Bible with you or next to you, look at verse 4. This is what he says. He says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. I would just suggest to you adults that verse 4 is the practical of verse 3, okay? That's why I'm with the kids just going to go over verse 4, because I think to them it's going to be easier understood. Verse 4 is going to be easier understood than verse 3, okay? So we're going to see what fulfills Paul's joy in verse 4. And what is that? Can any of you kids look at verse 4 and tell me what it would be that we're supposed to think the same about? I'm going to read it to you again, and let's see. This, it's not easy. This is kind of hard. I'm trying to teach you how to look at the verse and pull it out there. What are they supposed to think the same about? Notice what he says in verse 4. Follow with me if you can read. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. So he's telling them to look. He's saying, don't look on your own things, but look, if I could say, but every man look also on the things of others. What does it mean to not look on your own things, but on the things of others? Kids, is he saying this? Don't look down at yourself, just look at other people. That's not what he's saying. When he's saying to look, he's not talking just about just like, oh, I'm not supposed to look on myself. I can only look at other people. You know, and so your dad says, go home and tie, or I want you to bend down and tie your shoes. You say, I can't look at myself, Dad. That's not what he's saying. What does it mean that he's saying, don't look on your things of yourself? Sam, you got an idea? Okay, that's a good point. So Sam, I'm going to help you a little bit. Sam said something about you're supposed to try to help other people. What do you have to do to help other people? Can any adult help Sam and the kids here? What would a person have to do? And the word is in there, is the first word that we read in that second part there. What do they have to do to be able to help, Alyssa? Okay, you got to be there for them. What is the word that's used here? Does he say, he says to look, right? He says, don't look on your own things. What does he mean, don't look? What he's trying to say here, don't look, he's not saying with, so much with your eyes like, don't look at your own things. But what he's saying here is this. Kids, make sure you listen to this. He's saying, he said, don't always be concerned about all the things that you want or you need. Isn't it easy to think about all the things that you want to do? Sam, tell me one thing that you would like to do. Anytime, just something you like to do. Get a cello. He would like to, Sam would like to get a cello, okay? Talk really nice to Mr. Ben, okay? Might be a little big for you, okay? Let's see, who else? What's something you, what would you like to do, Elijah? He would have liked to have a cello. Ben, you're going to have to buy another one. You want a little cello, okay? He doesn't want to, he wants a little cello. And Nehemiah wants a cello, okay? They all want cellos. That's something else besides musical instruments. What else would you like to do? Malachi? Eat ice cream. Got a one-track mind, okay? He's still on the last point. And you know what's going to happen on the way home? Dad, you talked about eating ice cream today, so... Okay, he would like to eat ice cream. That's legitimate. What else? Sarah, what would you like to do? Work in the garden. Okay. You would like to work in the garden. Is there anything wrong with these things? No, these sounds like eating ice cream, working in the garden, playing the cello, or getting a cello anyway. All these things sound great things to do. But what he's saying, did you have something, Uriah? He likes to eat ice cream too. When I picked the right thing for the illustration anyway. And Nehemiah is saying, me too, okay? And you too, right? Yeah. All right. And me too, I know. Okay. When he says to look not every man on his own things, what he's saying is, listen, and adults who listen to this as well, what he's saying is we've got to stop always thinking about what we want to do. Adults, are there things that you have? Eat ice cream. I know some of you are just waiting to say, eat ice cream. Okay. Are there other things besides eating ice cream that you like to do or want to do or you even feel a need to do? I mean, I could go around and ask you some things and you would have some things that you would say, you know, that you are thinking about. You know, when you get caught daydreaming, you know, what are some of those things that you feel like, you know, I was working on that, you know, vehicle part that I can't get fixed and I was trying to brainstorm still in my mind, you know. Well, you want to be able to do that, okay? You know, all these things that we do, Paul is telling us, kids, listen to this. Paul is saying it's natural for you to think about the things that you want to do. You know what? If I had every one of these children make a list of the top 10 things that they like to do, I don't think it would take them very long to fill it out. Eat ice cream, eat ice cream, eat ice cream, eat ice cream. No, you know, it might be eat ice cream. It might be go, yeah, play the cello. It might be whatever it is, little kids have all kinds of things, and some of us big kids have all kinds of things that we like to do, right? Why? Because we like to do them. Does that make sense? Of course it does. We enjoy doing those things. We want to do those things. They are things that are important to us. Some things might not even be that I love to do that, but I know that it's important. I might not like going home and mowing the grass, you know, or tomorrow when I get out there after I get home from work. I might not like it, but I know that I need to do it, so I would put that on my list because I need to do it, right? There are things that we need to do, and so in a sense we want to do them because we want to have a nice property or we want to do this. I might not enjoy going to get groceries, but I enjoy eating the groceries, and so I like to go get groceries because I want to eat the groceries. We do things that we like to do, and so it's natural that we have a list of 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 things that we want to do. But listen, kids, Paul is saying, don't always be so... Listen, kids, look up at me. You know, adults, you know the trick. You know, the teacher would say, eyeballs, and what do the kids say? Click. You know, they look at you. I'm not going to do that right here, okay, because we're too grown up in this building. But maybe if we were back at a Sunday school room or something. Okay, but look up here. We have things that we'd like to do. I know that you would enjoy doing them, but you know what God is telling us here? The greatest thing that would give him, Paul, joy was if we would all think the same way about not always thinking about ourselves and the things that we want to do with our money, with our time, with our whatever it is. Sam, do you have a bunch of things that you would probably like to do? You don't got to tell me them. Do you have a bunch of things? Yep. Sarah, do you think that you could probably come up with a list of things that you like? Yep. Nehemiah, what about you? His eyes got big. Oh, yeah. Of course. Adults, do you guys have things in your life that you want to do, like to do, need to do? Okay, so we do. We all do. It's natural. This is nothing new to mankind. What does he say about all these things? Okay, catch it. We're just about done. We're just about done, kids. What does he say about those things? He says, look not every man on his own things. And by the way, when he says man, it doesn't mean just like your dad. He's talking about everybody. So even you, Nehemiah, even you, Uriah, he's talking to you about this. Don't just look at all the things that you want to do. Well, if I'm not supposed to look at the things I want to do, what are the things that I am supposed to look at? What does it say? Look down. Look not every man on his own things, but every man. And it doesn't say it in there, but really, we could put the word look in there. He's saying to don't look on your things, but look every man. So every one of us also on what? What does he tell us to look on? What does it say? Sarah? The things of others. So Sarah has her list of 10 things or 100 things. And Uriah has his list of 20 things. Sarah's not supposed to be looking at all of her things. Who should Sarah be looking at? She ought to be thinking about Uriah. She ought to be thinking in life, you know, when all of a sudden she gets up and there's some things, you know, the kids maybe have some free time, they can go and do some things. And she's thinking, perfect, we got a break from school. Hey, kids, I remember the game we were playing yesterday. I'm making this all up. Brothers and sisters, you remember the game we were playing? That was my favorite game. Let's all go do that because it's my favorite game. And yet, she knows it wasn't Uriah's favorite game. In fact, Uriah was thinking, that was kind of boring. But Uriah's thinking, you know, I really want to go out and play this. What would be the right thought? According to what Paul is telling us, what God is telling us, what should Sarah be thinking in this point? Is it wrong for Sarah to like to play the game that she likes to play? No. But in this case, what's she supposed to be thinking like? I'm supposed to be thinking about Uriah and what he likes. Kids, do you know what brings Paul joy and brings God joy? And listen, you know what brings us joy? When we stop looking at all the things that we like to do and we love people so much that we will care more about them
and pick to do the things that they like to do. Adults, let me tell you something. There's a lesson for us. We sometimes are so selfish with the way we want things. The things that we get to do, the things that we, husbands and wives, how we spend our money and the things. And so many times, this is not a passage written to little children. It's written to all of us. I'm teaching it like for little children, but I want to tell you something. Every one of us, God says, Faith Bible Church, kids and adults, listen to this. Listen, we're just about done. He says, Faith Bible Church, do you know what would make me happier than anything else? Not one more drop added to this cup could make me any more happy than if the people of this church, young and middle-aged and even some older, would think the same way, and that is preferring their brother over yourself. Can you imagine what would happen to this church if everybody did that? Question, would this be a godly church? What's the answer? Absolutely. Absolutely. The problem is when we don't follow the advice of this passage, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 4 here, and when we get so filled with our own selves that I want to do what I want to do. No, I want to do what I want to do. And you know what? Children do that sometimes. But adults do it sometimes as well. And we so bad want to do what we want to do. And God says it's time that we start deferring to the other people. And what he says here is we need to be like-minded. That means there's not one exception. There's not a single person in this room that has any right to not think this way. It's 100%. Everybody ought to be thinking of the other person. Kids, listen to this. In everything you do, in everything that you do, you ought to be thinking about the other people around you. What are you going to do this afternoon when you go home? Well, I want to... What would you think about saying, well, hey, brother, what would you like to do? Sister, what would you like to do? What do you think that we ought to do? Kids, I want to tell you something. It would change things in your home if you started, instead of thinking about your things, Nehemiah, you started thinking about Malachi's or one of your sisters. Or your mommies. Samuel, if you went home and you've got certain things you like, if you started thinking about your brothers and sisters, you say, well, that's no fun. That's not what Paul says. In fact, there's no greater joy than living that way. But you see, the devil wants you to think that you're going to be the most happy, Sam. He's going to trick you to think that you're going to be the most happy getting your way. Adults, the devil wants you to think that the only way you can be most happy is when you get your way. You know, with your time. How you want to spend your afternoon, evening, tonight. Some of you have an agenda of what you want to do. And what happens if that messes up? You know what? It might be that you need to think about somebody else. You would say, well, I'm going to go home and I'm going to do this, 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 and this. But, you know, my wife... Maybe she wants to do something different. Guess what? It's time to start thinking that way. And it would fulfill Paul's joy. It would fulfill God's joy. But I'm going to tell you something. It will also fulfill your joy as well. God gave us a tremendous example. Kids, do you know who in next verse tells us that there's an example of somebody who did defer to other people? That, you didn't understand that word. Somebody else who decided not to think about himself, but to think about everybody else in the world. Do you know who that example was? Look at verse 5. It says that. Let this mind be in you, which was also in... Who had this mind? Who thought this way? Jesus. And isn't that true? Didn't Jesus put everything of himself aside and for you go to the cross and die for you on the cross? Uriah, what do you think about that? Did Jesus do that for you? Then guess what? Then you ought to do it for your brothers and sisters. You ought to do it for your parents. You ought to do it for your friends. You ought to do it for the people around you. Sarah, you ought to do that. Nehemiah, you ought to do that. And to you adults, we ought to do that. We ought to start thinking about other people and follow the example of Jesus Christ. All right, so here's the question as we close. What are you going to do today to not look at your things, but look at other people's things? I think, kids, it would be good for you to pick something out that you could go home and do that would not be your thing, but that would be somebody else's. Something that somebody else would want to do. But don't let it stop with just today. It should be done every day. Adults, you say it's a little bit adolescent to go home and for me to think about something that I'm going to do. You know what? That is the heart of discipleship, obedience. Taking God's word and deciding to act upon it. And so I challenge you, along with the children, what could you do that you have planned, that you want to do, that you desire to do? Really, Pastor? Well, it's not about me. It's about God. Would you be willing to give of yourself for the sake of somebody else and have the same mind as Jesus Christ? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. God, would you help us to be people that would not be selfish? God, help us to think of each other. Help us to think of our brothers and our sisters. God, would you help us to think of other people? God, would you help us adults? Help us to set aside our plans, our agenda, our desires, and defer to our brothers and sisters, our wives, our husbands, our... God, would you help us to take this truth that you've given to us in Philippians chapter 2 and practice it. Lord, help us to live for each other. Paul says to be like-minded. Every one of us needs to think the same way about this. No exceptions. God, would you help us?